A very good evening to you and welcome along to this very special edition of Gospel for You. We have a marine influence because we are celebrating the role of the Fisherman's Mission. It is a national charity throughout the UK. I can tell you that their mission to seafarers actually puts the number of people working at sea as over 1.89 million people. These could be people from anywhere on small boats and ships to those on ferries, big cruise liners, tankers, also those in the various navies as well. But we think about all of these. So what do, for example, the Fisherman's Mission do? Well, they look after the health and well-being, and that over 140 years. They realise that fishing and uncertainties at sea can prove real challenges to people, to fishermen. They provide emergency support for help with accidents or illness at sea. They also work to improving sea safety. Fishing is the most dangerous job in the world, and they're committed to working with partners to make it safer. These are just some of the things that Fisherman's Mission and indeed other charities do. This programme includes material that was recorded at Hebron Church on the 27th of June this year to celebrate a Fisherman's Mission Praise Evening. And in the programme, as well as your gospel in Doric, Arabic and Vietnamese, you also get to hear some of the highlights from that particular evening. Some music and singing from Fiona Kennedy and Niles Elders. You'll get to hear the Hebron Choir as they sing and relate, it is well with my soul. And that hymn penned by Horatio Spafford. You'll get to hear John Merson as he relates what life at sea is like with a Doric poem as well. It's quite graphic, but I think you'll get the impression that fishing is really the most dangerous occupation in the world. You also hear from Stuart Ewan as he plays on the trumpet Concerto for Aranduez. Anyway, now it's time for your gospel in Doric.
Welcome to your gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
This is a recording for the Doric Bible, from Jock, chapter 3, verse 16. Because God sae loved the world, that he gave his ain Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life.
Your Gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, where it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in live from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
It is a great pleasure to introduce the Hebron Choir, conducted by Heather Poor. I know that they've been working hard. I know they sing together and they enjoy so much singing together. Will you give them a great round of applause?
Horatio Spafford was a successful lawyer in Chicago who had invested heavily in real estate along the shores of Lake Michigan. Horatio was a prosperous man, a devoted father, husband, and a devout Christian. But in 1870, a series of events began to turn his life inside out. Horatio and Anna's only son, Horatio Jr., died of scarlet fever at the tender age of 4. The following year, while still mourning the loss of their son, every single one of Horatio's investments were lost in the Great Chicago Fire. A few years later, aware of the toll these events had taken on his wife and 4 daughters, Horatio decided to take the family on a holiday to England, where they would accompany his friend, the famous evangelist D.L. Moody, on his next crusade. Shortly before they were to set sail, a last-minute business development threatened to derail the trip. Horatio persuaded his wife to go, and saying that he would follow along shortly. In November 1873, Anna and the girls boarded the French ship Villiers du Havre. 4 days into their transatlantic journey, Horatio received the devastating news that the ship had collided with the Loch Earn, an iron-hulled vessel. The Vilaid of sunk in 12 minutes, taking with her the lives of 226 of her passengers. It was the worst disaster in naval history until the sinking of the RMS Titanic 40 years later. Several days later, when the survivors had reached Cardiff, Wales, Spafford received a brief six-word telegram from his wife. Saved alone. What shall I do? As soon as possible, Horatio boarded a ship to join his grieving wife. En route to England, the captain called him to the bridge and said, "A careful reckoning has been made, and I believe we are now passing the very area where the Ville du Havre sank." According to Bertha Spafford Vester, a daughter born after the tragedy, her father wrote, "It is well with my soul while on this journey." And Anna's faith in God never faltered. He later wrote to Anna's half-sister, "On Thursday last, we passed over the spot where she went down in mid-ocean. The waters 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe. Dear lambs." Naturally, Anna was utterly devastated, but she testified that in her grief and despair, she had been conscious of a soft voice speaking to her. "You were saved for a purpose." She remembered something a friend had once said. "It's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you are not a fair-weather friend to God." It's incredible to think that such encouraging and uplifting words were born from the depths of such unimaginable sorrow. It's an example of truly inspiring faith and trust in the Lord. Perhaps that's why this hymn, like no other, demonstrates the power our God has to comfort our weary souls when the darkest tragedies overtake us.
the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, notions deep, my faith will.
Welcome to Your Gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
This is Your Gospel in Arabic.
هذا إنجيلك بالعربية يوحنا الثالثة وستة عشر دقيقة ترجمة الحية الجديدة ستة عشر لأنه هكذا أحب الله العالم. لقد بذل ابنه الوحيد حتى لا يهلك كل من يؤمن به بل تكون له الحياة الأبدية.
Your gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in life from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.
This is a very special edition, a seafarers and fishermen's edition of Gospel for You. Our theme scripture is from Jeremiah 33, verses 2 to 3. This is what the Lord says: He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. The Lord made the earth. The Lord made you and me and all the people and all the things on the earth. We're coming now to a quick time of prayer for all seafarers, all fishermen. Fishing is the most dangerous occupation in the world. Let's go and pray. Dear Lord, I want to bring before you all seafarers, all fishermen everywhere. Lord God, you who made the earth, you who understand all hearts, all minds, all lives, all the things on this earth. Lord God, I pray, use me, use this program to bring about more people to come to know the gospel in whatever language, whatever country they are from. I pray, Lord God, that they would be comforted, uplifted, inspired, and Lord God, that they might accept you as Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, coming up now, we have John Merson, and he's telling what life is like at sea, and relating that to faith. Faith and fishing.
Tonight, it's fantastic to be surrounded by such great musical and singing and trumpeting talent. It can only go downhill for this point. Anyway, I come from a fairly strong fishing heritage. My family on my mother's side, who are Sutherlands, have been seafarers for generations, both as fishermen and lifeboat crew. My mum's first cousins, John Sutherland and Albert Sutherland, were both coxswain of the Fraserburgh lifeboat and risked their life many times to save others. Both my great-granddads and my granddads were fishermen. My uncles were successful fishermen out of Fraserburgh, and the Sons Pair, which is this boat here, won the Maitland Trophy for the best whitefish landings 11 years in a row. And when I left school, I went on this fishing boat with my uncle George Sutherland, named Hatties, and that was the first year the Sons Pair won the trophy, so I was no Jonah. Now, although I loved the sea didn't love me, and I was terribly, terribly seasick when I was at sea. Some days I was as green as that boat itself. And I wrote a poem. The locals called the boat, it's actually called the Sons Pair, which is a Sutherland motto, but they called it the Sands Pure. But I changed it to the Sands Spewer because that was kind of my life at sea. So I wrote a poem about it, actually. It's interesting you mentioned Lewis. My daughter was working in Lewis, and I was on my way home from Lewis on a wild night in the ferry, and I was watching a fishing boat on the seas, pulling its nets, and it brought everything back to my days at the sea. So I just want to read this to you. I just enjoyed Mam's mince and tatties. Soon it'll be time to sail, we Hatties. I hope, my loon, you'll keep that dune. Davy Dawn will soon be roon. Sure enough, we hear the call. Well, Davy's face says it all. It's 30 on the TV, and here's his heading for the belly of the sea. We arrive in the broch with some trepidation, my belly already in agitation. We park a car and head down the pier, Mam's mincing tatties in a steer. The harbour's displaying a lot of motion. It's clearly course out on the ocean. The manny comes down and says, we're gone. So it's farewell comforts and farewell land. The shout goes up to louse aft. A week awaits, being battered soft. The forecast bad, really bad. The harbourmaster shouting, Sutherland, you're mad. But out we must go to make a living. Fearless, focused, and bowel-driven. Well, the boat is hardly round the quay, and I'm already spewing free. Vile is my bile as I'm reeling and wrenching, my gullet muscles stretched to maximum tension. The night is cold, but I'm boiling and sweating, and from my nausea, no relief I'm getting. My head is permanently over the rail, my spew returns in the teeth of the gale. The fading shore lights seem to mock my decision to leave the land for a life at the fishing. How rotten I feel, and it's only Sunday. I'll be coking and wrenching wheel past Monday. I think I'll risk Gunduna blow, but I'm nae seen her doon when I'm back up for a throw. Nothing comes up but the dregs of my gut. Already I'm stuck in the Sunday rut, spewing and sweating and sweating and spew, and nae ony sympathy for ony the crew. Head to the hills is all they can cry, while I couldnae live, while I couldnae care whether I live or die. Dawn's Monday morning and I spew and I sweat. Have I really got energy to shoot the net? Awa goes the darn along with the buoy, but my oh my, I'm still so spewy. Dear God, is this really the job for me? Me who dreamt to a life at the sea? The haddock and cod are your bountiful gift, but please, Lord, dinna give us mair than half a lift. Lord, you know I'm feeling so terribly rough, so spare us this morning from a full bag of stuff. It's Marco already, and up comes the bag. My spirits and hopes immediately flag. For full as the net, there's haddock galore. The crew are delighted, there's such a furore. I'm running on empty, but sheeling I do. I scoop up the fish while adding more spew. My energy levels are virtually nil. I'm feeling so rotten and terribly ill. The morning is hard. I've got nothing to give. I'm not even sure if I'm bothered to live. Lunchtime is called, but I can't respond. I'm still preoccupied adding bile to the pond. My gutting continues as best as I can, but I know all my efforts are half of a man. Nighttime can't come quick enough, for I'm well beyond it and feeling so rough. Supper is ready, but I choose instead to throw off my eyelids and go straight to my bed. Are you nae having any supper? Say the crew with surprise, knowing fine well my portion is their prize. Tuesday dawns early and I'm nae feeling nae better. I will try a bit toast, but forget about butter. I'm challenged, yes, challenged, to keep this tiny bit doon, but up comes a toast faster than soon. Next time I try a little dry bread. Hopefully this time it'll bind doon instead. But look, once again, my head's o'er the rail, then washing doon spew we are open a pail. One mere try, one more bit of bread. Dinna tell me this is all in my head. It looks like it's staying. Yes, maybe I'm winning. Is this going to be the week's true beginning? It's biding doon this time. Really it is. Maybe I'll celebrate with one swig of fizz. The morning goes better, jumping ropes in the bins. And up comes the net with the mesh full of fins. At lunchtime I hear a shouting for hatties. Are you ready now for some mince and tatties? Ravenous, I devour every ounce of the bowl. Now I'm ready to fill up the howl. 5-6 lifts, it doesn't matter. Let me now earn my bread and butter. You see, the fishing really was my call. Well, if Tuesday night was the week's first haul. Now, the sea net was a tough job, but not as challenging as the job my great-granda did. He used to sail on the cod smacks all the way to Iceland onto the Newfoundland banks. And these smacks were not particularly large boats, considering the kind of weather they had to endure. And it was a tough life. On the way to the fishing grounds, the crew were divided into two watches, each watch was 4 hours long, keeping the boat on course and managing the sails. And in bad weather, these shifts could be absolutely draining. My great-granddad spoke about arriving at the fishing grounds with the crew already exhausted. And once at the fishing grounds, the crew were split into three watches, 8 hours fishing and 4 hours sleep, until they filled the boat with cod. And the fishing was a simple affair. The cod line had a lump of lead and two hooks baited with mussels and jigged up and down, and it was a very tiring job. If you can imagine pulling up two struggling cod, perhaps as big as 30 pounds each, from the depths of 30 to 50 fathoms, and the crew did this day after day. And my granddad said that my great-granddad's hands were all gashed and scarred just with the strain of a line and pulling up fish all day long. But landing the fish on the deck was only half the job. Once on the deck, the cod had to be processed. They were headed and gutted and washed, then salted and stored below deck. You could say the cod smacks were the first factory ships, as the entire catch was processed and preserved at sea. Now, despite wanting to fill the boat and get home as quick as possible, the skippers respected the Sabbath and rested the crews on Sundays. And my great-granddad and many of the other crew were not religious, but they welcomed with great relief a break from the cold and the wet and a chance just to give their aching bodies, their broken and salt-scarred hands a rest. Now, once the boat was filled up with 3,000 to 5,000 cod, salted cod, it was time to go home. And sometimes that meant facing more grueling weather on the return voyage. My granddad told me that one of the men that sailed with his father was washed overboard in wild seas, and they couldn't go back for him. They just had to keep on sailing on their journey. And these round trips took 12 weeks, and the crew got 1 week at home before they went back again. And the conditions in these boats were really tough. There was no fresh water available for washing or shaving. Fresh water was only for drinking and cooking. There was no toilet on board. You got 6 pairs of underwear for 12 weeks. Measles and diphtheria were common problems, and whole crews could fall ill, and sometimes fatally. And the fisherman's mission was sufficiently concerned about the working conditions of the cod smacks that sailed from Shetland to Iceland and Greenland. They went to Lerwick in 1897 to engage in dialogue with the skippers and the crews from the smacks. Interestingly, the lady who chaired the meeting from the fisherman's mission was Mrs. Wilson, the daughter of the famous explorer and missionary to Africa, David Livingstone. After the meeting, the plan was to base a mission vessel in Faro to care for the many needs of the cod smack crews. Now, my great-granddad was as tough as old boots, and my granddad was as tough as old boots. However, at one trip when he was home from sea, an evangelist was making his way along the Moray Firth coast, visiting all the villages and calling on people to turn to the Lord. And his name was James McKendrick, and this happened in the late 1890s. And my granddad told me, when my great-granddad heard there was a preacher coming to town, he and his fellow crewmen went to the local school in Sandend, where the meetings were being held, to deliberately heckle and mock the preacher and cause as much disturbance as possible. He was hugely opposed to a preacher coming to his village. And McKendrick later wrote in a book about the revivals along the coast. And in the book, he describes my great-granddad as a man with a devil in his soul. So welcome to my family. But that night, in the midst of my great-granddad's mocking and unbelief, the Spirit of God fell on the meeting when James McKendrick was speaking. And my granddad told me his father couldn't move. And the state of his soul was laid bare before a holy God, and he realised he was lost, totally lost, and he cried out for mercy. And right there in the school, he encountered God's forgiveness and renewal, and his life was totally transformed. He started holding gospel meetings in a loft in his house and sharing his conversion story wherever he could. And these were extraordinary days when God visited the fishing communities in power and salvation. My great-granddad's conversion was really the start of the Christian heritage within our family. And I myself am a fourth generation Christian from the time of the fishing communities revival. And this painting here hangs in Glasgow and is part of the Kelvin Grove art collection, and it's by Salvador Dali, and it's called The Christ of St. John of the Cross. And I love this painting because it combines together both faith and fishing heritage. In this painting, Dali has us view Christ and the cross from above. And Christ is looking down on an array of clouds and the earth below. And on earth is a boat and a couple of fishermen, one standing by the boat and the other mending or sorting a net. Now, it's a heavenly perspective on the cross that's in view. Christ is held to the cross not by nails, but by eternal love, as he chooses to lay down his life in self-given love for a broken world. As Jesus had said before his death, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me. And this painting speaks of Christ being raised up in power and through his ascension, able to save to the uttermost. And Dali painted Christ above the earth to show that although the Son of God died and rose 2,000 years ago, the power of the salvation event is contemporary with every generation. The fisherman mending his net could be my great-granddad, who found the power of God's love and sacrifice available to him in a revival meeting. It could also be my granddad, who also came to faith as a young man. Or my uncles, who also were fishermen. My uncle Alec, after finding faith, left the fishing and went to be a missionary in Guyana. Or it could be me, sorting a net in my younger day. The point is this: Christ's sacrifice towers majestically above this temporal age and remains undiminished in its power to save and transform lives in every fishing generation. Amen? And Dali wants to communicate to us through paint that these fishermen have experienced the mystery of the eternal for themselves and have been brought to life and peace through the cross. And I have here we go. And this is awesome grace that God has made available for the fishing communities. It's connection with the divine above that brings the serene peace and stillness of life and life below. So, this painting wonderfully combines the richness of faith and fishing heritage. And I'm sure many others here tonight will have similar stories to tell of fishing and faith. And I think the fisherman's mission can take courage from this painting, for the power of the cross that was clearly evident among fishermen in past generations has not gone away or become diminished. Christ's sacrifice is contemporary with every generation of fishermen, which means his power and love remain constant and undiminished and available today. Moreover, this power for forgiveness and renewal will remain undiminished for the fishing generations to come. This is one of your own mission photos, which I love, and it makes the same point. All the blessing of the boats and fleets, all the prayers and support for families, and the hands-on welfare care through the mission that you have done is done in the shadow of the cross, that people may indeed be helped holistically, physically, emotionally, socially, and of course, spiritually. So we want to give thanks for the demonstrations of care and compassion that have been evidenced along our beloved coastline through the great work of the Fisherman's Mission for over 140 years. From the mission's founding father, Ebenezer Mather, in 1881 until today. The name Ebenezer means, thus far, the Lord has helped us, and he has, and he has. And you can rightly be proud of your great contribution to our fishing heritage and all the countless fishermen that have been helped through encouraging faith and practical demonstrations of the love of God to every fishing generation. We just want to say thank you for your great work.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks very much to John Merson and the good folk at Hebron Church. And didn't Stuart Ewan do really well with that trumpet rendition of Concert of Aaron Ewes? This is Gospel for You. This is a special Seafarers and Fishermen's edition of this programme. If you've been listening today and would like to accept Christ as your Lord and Saviour, here's a prayer that places entire reliance on God. If you pray this prayer in your heart and with your mouth, you'll be made right through Christ Jesus with God. There is no other way by which we can be saved. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for my behaviour, my actions and my words, the way I've let people down and former broken promises, for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me. Please help me to repent, to turn away from everything that is wrong. Please come into my life now by your Spirit to be my Lord and Saviour forever and help me to be the person you want me to be. Amen. And if you have said that prayer, start reading the Bible, because that's God's word. Start doing what the Bible says and start praying, because prayer is talking to God. If you've enjoyed what you've heard tonight and you'd like to hear the whole evening, then do go along to our podcast site, podcast.g4g.org.uk, where you'll be able to hear this and many other podcasts. Do also listen in live, listen.g4g.org.uk, and I'll look forward to coming back another week, God willing. See you then.
Welcome to Your Gospel, making the good news of salvation available to language groups around the world.
This is Your Gospel in Vietnamese.
Đây là tin mừng của bạn bằng tiếng Việt vì Đức Chúa Trời yêu thương thế gian đến nỗi đã ban con một của Ngài, hầu cho hễ ai tin con ấy không bị hư mất mà được sự sống đời đời.
Your Gospel is made available by Gospel for Grampian Radio, which it is heard every hour, on the hour, and on podcast from podcast.g4g.org.uk. Listen in life from listen.g4g.org.uk. Thank you.